This is Bucky McCaw with the Backyard Chicken Broadcast, and promoting my agenda of a world where a chicken, or three, inhabit outdoor spaces everywhere, my pitch usually involves the three main benefits to the individual chickener: toxin-free bug control, garden-enriching fertilizer, and fresh eggs. Because chickens have done all that for me, I also want to return the favor by getting their species off factory farms where they're subjected to grotesquely inhumane treatment. And from loyalty to my own species, I'm doing my bit to help other humans learn how to provide themselves with high nutrition, good flavored, pesticide, and hormone-free food that doesn't drain the planet's resources, and maybe even improves it for future food use. Of all the many reasons to promote backyard chickens, one is a solution to a problem that most people have been misinformed is a caution against having chickens: bird flu. You are categorically not exposing yourself and neighbors to the risk of exposure to bird flu by having hens in your backyard. Moreover, backyard chickening is one way to help prevent bird flu. Bird flu has been in the news a lot lately, a periodic event in the last decade, this time due to the emergence of a strain in China that has scientists and health officials stumped on several levels. Every couple of years since around 2007, there's an outbreak that spooks agricultural officials and receives widespread media attention, alternating with swine flu and similar diseases. But swine flu and bird flu and related diseases are not new. They're as old as birds themselves, and have been an irritating but manageable problem for domesticated birds for ages. The Spanish flu pandemic, also known as la gripe espanol or la pestidia, was an unusually severe and deadly strain of avian influenza, a viral infectious disease that killed some 50 million to 100 million people worldwide over the course of about a year in 1918 and 19. It is thought to have been one of the most deadly pandemics in human history. It was caused by H1N1 type of influenza virus, which is similar to the bird flu of today. We now know that the stresses of combat, combined with the effects of chemical warfare, weaken World War I soldiers' immune systems, thereby increasing the fatality of the disease. Certainly, the close quarters and mass movement of troops helped in its spread. These are exactly the conditions we see in transnational factory farming. Furthermore, scientists have very rarely found live birds carrying the highly fatal and transmissible strains of bird flu. The patterns in which the disease spread don't even follow migratory bird routes. What they do follow are rail lines that transport commercial birds. When backyard farms are separated from the source of bird flu, the virus seems to die out or mutate into a weaker form. Repeated exposure from commercial farms, or lately from high-density rural farming, are the only reason why the flu persists in small-scale environments. The generic rooster and egg-laying breeds of chickens simply can't cope with the variety of environments that regional breeds, now often referred to ironically as exotics, can survive. Before the current hysteria over bird flu, the United Nations Food and Agricultural Organization once stated, "Developing animal genetic resources on farm in their production environment is the most effective approach to maintain genetic diversity and provide insurance against future threats such as famine, drought, and epidemics," end quote. Yet since 2007, the agency has been silent about genetic diversity. There's been no statement about how genetic uniformity contributes to the problem, and not a word about how native chickens might resist the disease, even though there continue to be reports of local chickens surviving the H5N1 virus. Worst of all, mass culling is actively promoted and enforced, even as it destroys local poultry diversity and makes birds, commercial and otherwise, more threatened than ever. Meanwhile, although bird flu from factory farms is a threat to chickens globally, the reality of the threat to humans from species jumping is still greatly exaggerated. Let's look at the bird flu scares of this decade. There were 86 confirmed human cases in 2007, compared with 115 in 2006, according to the World Health Organization, and 59 deaths, compared with 79, respectively. 59 deaths comprise less than 9 millionths of a percent of the total population. This year, there have been, so far, in a fairly isolated region, perhaps slowly spreading to neighboring villages, something like 110 cases, depending the source you read. Just over 20 have died from this flu, mostly people well into the age where any flu is known to be dangerous, in their 70s, 80s, and 90s. With that kind of increase, we're still not even up to 10 millionths of a percent of the total population. Furthermore, with the flu in China this year, the source of the virus remains unclear, because only a handful of birds, out of tens of thousands that have been tested, have been found to carry the virus, this time H7N9, and many of the patients have no reported history of contact with birds. Officials have also maintained that there's been no evidence of sustained human-to-human transmission, but that it remained unclear how, in a few cases, caregivers or neighbors of patients have also become ill. Still, Chinese health and agricultural authorities have closed live poultry markets and slaughtered birds as preventive measures based on the suspicion that sick people had contact with infected fowl. Heartbreaking photos from China show workers at farms shoveling ducklings and chicklings into furnaces to stop the spread of the new strain of bird flu. Meanwhile, government stockpiling plans for Tamiflu have brought hundreds of millions of dollars to companies like Sanofi Pasteur and Chiron Corporation. Chiron has been investigated for tainted virus and price-fixing issues, and is known for spending money and making veiled threats in their lobbying for mandatory universal vaccination. They aggressively market that each year's flu strains are worse than the last, stoking the media hysteria and public panic over flu supplies and driving up prices. The Department of Health's early commitment to stockpiling Tamiflu resulted in a notable increase in the value of stock in Gilead Corporation, the conglomerate that includes Roche, makers of Tamiflu antiviral medicine. Stock owners all saw nice huge profits from Tamiflu rush. Even while well-known experts were saying it would probably be ineffective if a Spanish flu-type outbreak ever did occur. And lo and behold, Tamiflu-resistant strains of bird flu are now becoming common. Bird flu is a real problem, but it's one that's been mostly hyped in all the wrong ways, for all the wrong reasons. And the best preventive measure is for loads of people to sign on to the Bucky agenda and start making use of their outdoor space with chickens. This is Bucky Bacaw. I had a good time. Bucky, 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 Bucky.